go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben.
And I'm Scott. And today, Ben, we got something pretty cool to talk about.
I'll say.
Yeah. I mean, you probably got it from the title, right?
I think so. Anyone who hasn't read the title, Wall of Death.
Oh, yeah, the Wall of Death. Yeah. This is completely unusual. This is really something that you might still be able to find something like this somewhere out there in the world right now.
In fact, you're very lucky.
Well, if you're lucky, yeah. Yeah, because there's very few around. We'll talk about how diminished this Wall of Death has become. But really, this is cool. I like this a lot. You know, I like the auto thrill shows.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about those, what was the name of it?
It's not the Evel Knievel one, but you're talking about the one where the cars go up on one side and drive by each other?
Yeah. I'll come up with it. I can't believe.
Thrill show. It's something thrill.
Joey Chitwood's auto thrill show. Yeah, yeah. So similar to that, only we're talking about motorcycle auto thrill show here. So this is another motorcycle topic. How about that?
Yeah. Hey, guys.
I know. And
we listen.
Gets cars into it right at the end, though, so that's kind of cool, too.
Right, so people who hate motorcycles, just stay tuned.
So before this, had you ever heard of the Wall of Death?
I had not. I had heard of similar things.
Yeah.
And I've actually seen a similar
What'd you see?
I saw I went to the circus several years ago, and I saw a motorcycle act that was riveting, dude, because I thought they were going to die. Mm-hmm. And there were it started with one cyclist inside a metal sphere. And this cyclist started going faster and faster so that the centrifugal force kept him into the edge, the inside edge of the sphere. And then they added another guy and then someone else. And then at the end, there were like 4 to 6 people, I think, zipping around.
Yep.
And I was honestly relieved when they got out.
Yeah.
I was ready for some clowns or something.
It's tense, isn't it?
It was a tense moment.
Yeah. I've seen one just like that in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of these variety shows. Yeah. And they put 5 people in. I guess that's a big deal to put 5 people in.
It's huge.
It's a big deal because of the shape of the thing and just how much clearance there is for everybody.
Because they're not that big.
And the way they did it was they got 4 going, they brought in the 5th, and then they, you know, somehow work the 5th guy into the routine, however they're spinning it. And they're going in all different directions.
Yeah.
And the timing is perfect on this, you know, so that they don't collide with each other. And they turn the lights off, and they had the headlights from the motorcycles going, and that was it. So they're in the dark doing that, right?
And this goes back to an earlier podcast we did about precision drivers.
Yeah, yeah, it's very similar.
This is a very similar thing. But now, Scott, I understand that you're actually familiar with the old school thing. What we're talking about is the more modern equivalent, the sphere of death, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But what this podcast is about is the old school, and I would say, I'm going to go ahead and say it, way more dangerous.
You know, I think so.
Wall of Death.
And it's still around. Yeah, that's what's kind of cool about this, but it's in limited availability at this point, really. This goes all the way back to, as far as we know, around 1911.
Coney Island, right?
Yeah, Coney Island. That's right. Luna Park, Coney Island. They had something called the Motordrome. Mm-hmm. And the Motordrome was, it was a looped oval board track, I guess, that motorcycles used to ride on. And the idea was that, you know, they're fast and they're on this wooden board track that's circular, but not what we're talking about with the Wall of Death, which is vertical walls.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they did was they took the looped wall, or the motordrome idea, and they've added a wall fixture to it. So it looks like, imagine like a barrel.
Yeah.
Standing up. And
perfect description.
They're driving on the inside of the barrel, if you can imagine that. So that they're perpendicular to the ground. Is that the right way? Perpendicular to the ground?
Perpendicular.
Yeah, they're driving in a horizontal position up a vertical wall. If you can imagine that.
So they start out on the floor of this thing.
Yes.
And they go from, you know, they go in there, they coast in, they go full stop, and they start ramping up to, what would you say, about 30 miles maybe?
I don't know the speeds that it's required. I mean, I think it varies by vehicle.
It probably does, yeah.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, this is why this is so cool in 1911. We're all, even this day and age, even if you've never ridden a motorcycle, you're, in their mind, you're unreasonably jaded. Because motorcycles, when they came, like in 1911, man, motorcycles are like iPods. They're crazy awesome.
Yeah.
They're cool factors in the stratosphere. You know, everybody and their daredevil redheaded cousin wants one. And now, on top of that already cool factor, they've just decided to combine a little bit of, frankly, incredibly dangerous.
Oh, sure. This is
stunt work.
When they say death-defying, this is death-defying.
This is statistically death-defying.
Let me tell you, this thing, I mean, when we're talking about, you know, they're not just going up on a little wall that, you know, is maybe the size of the room that you're in right now.
No.
We're talking, these walls, I mean, from the pictures that I'm looking at from, you know, Coney Island and other times throughout history, these walls are 30 feet tall, 40 feet tall, and they're getting up near the top of these on motorcycles. Completely vertical. I'm sorry, horizontal. Completely
and
horizontal.
Here's my favorite part, Scott. Where's the audience?
The audience is standing around the top on a rickety platform that surrounds the wall of death. So it's really weird. They're looking down into the barrel, if you will.
Yes.
At these motorcycles as they spin around. Of course, you know, they need to maintain speed to go to keep on the wall.
Keep that centrifuge effect.
Exactly, yeah. So they're being forced against the wall, you know, just by their speed alone. So if they let up at all, they're going to drop. They're going to just, you know, gravity's going to take over. They're going to fall right down this 40-foot wall. And, you know, thus the name. But really, I mean, there have been some accidents, you know, some low-speed accidents. I've seen some photos here of you know, small little, like almost like micro cars. They look like little tiny race cars that they started using aside from motorcycles. Mm-hmm. And like bigger than a go-kart, but smaller than a normal road car. And they started using things like that in these shows, and they started doing tricks in the vehicles as they're going around on the wall, you know, like hands-free. And then, you know, here's my hands and my feet, and now I'm going to turn completely backwards in the car or on the motorcycle. And this, to me, is just amazing. I mean, I can't imagine being that high up, just force holding you against the motorcycle now that's being held against the wall, and you could just drop off.
I mean, the driving skills involved alone are quite impressive.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing about these is, Ben, these are wooden structures.
Yes,
these are
thank you for saying that.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned that yet, I don't think. Well, we mentioned barrels, but they're not like big steel walls. You know, and I guess wood has the benefit of having the traction, of course, unless it's wet. But, you know, these things are made of, looks like 2x4s. I mean, they're just made out of planks and plywood and, you know, just kind of stuff thrown together, it looks like. Now, the one in Coney Island was a little more professional looking. You know, it was a little more, I don't know, looks like a little more metered. Mm-hmm. You know, it was well put together. I'm looking at some photos here of some of these that are from around the world. Mm-hmm. And this one, where is this one? This one is in...
is that the one on the East Coast?
No, this one. Oh. Where is this one? Shoot. I can't find the name. Anyways, it says that it's assembled on the spot, taken down after the carnival is done. So this is just a carnival attraction.
It's mobile.
It's mobile. And I think this is in India, to be honest
with you.
Oh,
wow. Okay.
Maybe not. Anyways, it's just made of rickety, dried up wood, according to the reporter here, which
Ouch.
Is just somebody, you know, on vacation,
right?
And they
right.
snapped this photo with a you know, cell phone. There are three motorcycles on the wall, and one looks like a compact car on the wall in a vertical position. And this thing, like I said, it's assembled on site at a carnival, so you can imagine the quality of this thing. And it's all dried out, rickety looking wood. And there again, there's people crowded around the top of it. I mean, hundreds of people. Crowded around this thing because it's big. It's 50 feet across, maybe 60 feet across, and again, 30 feet tall. I don't understand how this whole thing holds together. I really don't. It's kind of like the mystique of the wooden roller coasters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just think that they're going to shatter, but they're pretty solid.
Tell me about it, man. Have you ever watched a wooden roller coaster when the car goes over the track?
Yeah, I love wooden roller coasters.
You hear that kind of.
Yeah, you can see it flex, but that's built in the design.
It is, and it's ingenious design, too.
It is.
I mean, there's a reason that people built Wall of Death, or built dromes, I guess they would call them. There's a reason people built these dromes out of wood, and there was definitely a factor involved with the affordability of materials, but also the flexibility can be invaluable.
Oh, true. Yeah, that's right.
And it's funny that you mention how that drome in India was taken apart and put together, or excuse me, strike that, put together and taken apart for each exhibition, because I checked up with a group called the California Hell Riders, and they are from what I found here, one of the few remaining Wall of Death acts. And they're a family act.
And they're still around.
Yeah. Okay. To my knowledge, one of only, according to my sources, one of only three acts left in the U.S.
Unbelievable.
And they have a system for their drome. It requires them to – it takes 9 hours to put it together, and it takes 4 hours to take it down.
Hmm.
And, you know, that sounds like a long amount of work. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
See, now,
like
you know
time.
What? I have the opposite view of this. Like, you're going to put this thing up in 9 hours, and I'm going to drive a car on it in a vertical position?
That's your idea?
I'm in a horizontal position on a vertical – I keep getting mixed up with how to say this, but
– okay.
I'm going to drive a car on a vertical wall in 9 hours on a structure that you just put together in a carnival parking lot.
No. It takes 9 hours to put it together, and then they do a show every hour.
Yeah. Okay. No. I'm still saying, like, I think this thing should be built out of metal. I think it should be reinforced. I think it should be
concrete
checked out.
Concrete posts going
exactly.
20 feet into the ground.
I want the inspection stickers all over it.
You want somebody to come by.
Yeah.
That's true. I definitely commend – these daredevils, and I do think daredevil is the correct word, but even if I spent the time with there's a very specific set of driving skills here that you see in play, and they are different from racing skills. They're different from they're similar to stunt driver skills, but here's the one. This comes from Sandra D, who is a member of the California Hell Riders, and she made a really good point. She said, and I'm quoting here, the first time you ride the wall, you get tunnel vision. You can only see things right in front of you. And after a while, you can train your body not to get dizzy. If you get dizzy on carnival rides that spin you around, you probably cannot do this. And that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural reaction. She doesn't mention that pretty much everybody, due to the way our inner ears work, gets very dizzy on carnival rides.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, and you're talking about
a specific skill she has.
They're going awful quick around these things. I mean, they're not going slow. It requires
some
speed.
They're going like 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, they need some speed to stay up on the walls. Yeah. I mean, you'll see in the photos, these are really strange photos, because here's a wooden wall with people standing on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a car in a position that's unnatural, really. Mm-hmm. It's unnatural. It's stuck to the wall. And you got to remember that that's a photo of somebody going 40 miles an hour on wood that's probably not braced all that well from behind.
No.
With people standing on top of it.
Yeah.
A driver that's fighting, you know, this dizzy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everything just has to be right. He has to approach the wall the right way, and he has to exit the wall the right way. Otherwise, this is all coming down.
And just like a video game, he has the ability to rack up points, defined in this scenario by people who lean over the edge of the wall with money. And you see these pictures of somebody reaching out with cash, and the driver, she or he will be trying to grab it.
Very nice.
Apparently.
Very nice.
I haven't seen this happen, but the still photographs I've seen look like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen some videos of this. Mm-hmm. Oh, one quick thing before I want to get too far here.
Yeah.
What initially drew me to this was I saw this thing called, I thought it was called like the Wall of Death with a Lion. And I thought, what the heck is that? So I look at this picture, and it's from, you know, the early 1900s. I don't know exactly when, but I mean, the heyday of this was around the 1930s. So I'm going to say that is the peak around, and the dress in these photos looks like that, about 1930. And the car looks like a race car of the day, but it's very small. It's a smaller car, small according to then. There's a sidecar with a full grown lion in it on the Wall of Death and a woman driver. And this was the attraction, is that, you know, you've got these female drivers that have stage names, you know, like, you know, kind of crazy stage names. Sort of like I guess roller derby stage
names. Like roller
derby.
Yeah. Like Sudden Beth or something.
And these women are riding in these race cars with sidecars with lions. And the real tame lions that are there that, come on, you're making a lion dizzy?
I wonder if the lion was dizzy.
I mean, it's in this loud environment with people whizzing by. It's so unnatural. But, you know, the weird thing is that, like, you know, this is one of the top attractions at the carnivals of the day, or, you know, the amusement parks where these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, you know, I mentioned that it was the heyday of the Wall of Death. And did you know that in the 1930s there were hundreds of these that were traveling around the nation in shows, around the world, I guess, in shows? And as we mentioned, in 2008, there were only three left.
Yeah, and so we actually, 2008 was the latest information I could get, so I don't know if all three of those are extant.
This reminds me of the cars that were on the tether cars. Remember the
Remember
there were hundreds of those in mm-hmm. the heyday of the sport as well, and they're down to, I think they're down to one.
And we wouldn't have even known about, like, one of our listeners rode in on tether cars.
Yeah, exactly.
And hit this to the game.
Exactly, and we just stumbled along on this, this wall of death thing, and really there's some outstanding, I'm going to mention a website.
Yeah,
because
this comes from
I think it's
Dark Roasted, right?
Yeah, that's right. Dark Roasted Blend, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Dark Roasted Blend. And if you search for Wall of Death, you're going to come up with this fantastic post.
Great photos.
That has, there must be 20 photos here, I'm
probably
guessing.
Around
And you'll see the old posters that you know promote this type of thing, mm-hmm. which are really cool. And then you're going to find some of these lion photos that I mentioned and some of the original Coney Island shots.
Mm-hmm.
Just some really funny stuff. You'll see some accident photos of the car that rolled over on the lady, but she's all right.
She's all right.
But it looks terrible, but you know she apparently did something wrong there. And just some good photos from mm-hmm. the heyday of the Wall of Death. And then it moves on to the Sphere of Death, like you and I are familiar with.
Yeah, and let's also point out one of the reasons that they were popular to begin with was the dangerous nature. Mm-hmm. They were actually so dangerous that spectators as well as performers were injured or in some cases killed.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I would argue this led to what we saw as kind of the decline, because you can only have so many spectators be injured until before people start going or Uncle Sam notices, you know. I don't think there was any legal action against them, but I do see the decline based on that.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah, it's just one of those, like, you know, the carnival rides that were just too dangerous to continue on.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen those, right? The old Coney Island type stuff.
That, you and I are old enough that we've probably been on those.
Oh, my gosh. Some of those were nuts. And you know, they hung around for a while, but just too many people were becoming injured or killed mm-hmm. on these things. And, you know, there's just no way to keep it around. Hey, one quick thing I want to mention before we wrap up on this one.
Yeah, lay it on me.
Maybe two things.
Two things?
Yeah, two things.
Lay it on me.
Okay. First one is... you know, I like to poke around on YouTube and find out what I can see for each one of these topics that we do, right?
That's true.
And, you know, for the Wall of Death, there is an imitator out there, someone who has built their own Wall of Death. And I think it's a university, maybe a frat, you know, fraternity type thing.
Wow.
I just wish I had the detail because I quickly looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
They made it all out of plywood. And it's enormous, this structure that they made. And I don't have much background to it or context to it, but I saw them try it on a moped. And the initial attempt failed.
Oh.
The second attempt was successful. The initial attempt, when they went up onto the lower plywood, you know, the
slanted.
Yeah,
which has a different slope.
Yeah, it has a different slope so that you can get onto the ramp, you know, the vertical part. Every one of the boards was breaking with the weight and the force of the rider and the moped.
Okay.
So that gives you an idea of the structure.
It's plywood.
Yeah, exactly. And that gives you the idea of, you know, the strength necessary to hold up a motorcycle and a person or a car even.
Yeah.
But you know, this moped and this rider broke every single piece of plywood on the way around and continued to go and worked their way just barely up onto the vertical surface and then fell and badly cut his hand. The next attempt, they tried to up the horsepower in the moped by adding a different head to it, and successful. They were able to get more speed, able to get up on the wall. He made several attempts, you know, several rounds, and came down. And
he landed?
It landed. And okay. Later, they show the same person climbing out of this thing, and then you get an idea for the scale of this structure
how
that they built.
Yeah.
And it's enormous. So a lot of plywood went into it, a lot of time. But interesting that, you know, some people are kind of imitating this in their backyard, as you knew they would.
But we know that you guys won't do it, and if you do, you certainly won't do it because you heard about it from us.
Exactly, yeah. Keep it safe.
Keep it safe. What's the next one?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the last,
yeah. Last thing. Guess what's living in my garage right now?
No.
Yep.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Okay, make it official.
Official. I purchased the 1967 Chrysler Newport Custom.
Congratulations,
Thank
Scott.
You very much.
That's
I drove it home last night.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah,
with the marine gas,
it was a harrowing ride. I'll tell you that because it was dark, rainy.
Yeah,
I had my kid with me. It was just it was an uncomfortable situation all around. But my wife swears she could hear me coming 2 miles away. It's you've heard of Rolling Thunder, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what this thing sounds like.
Is that its name?
No. It's too cliche.
It's a little cliche.
It's extreme. It's very loud, very powerful feeling mm-hmm. car. It's pretty awesome. We'll talk about it maybe some other time, but it's incredible.
I sense a project. It's got a podcast on the horizon.
440 engine in it, and it's got a four barrel carb. It's got a performance cam. It's got Flowmaster exhaust. It's got, you know, but at the same time, there's a lot of other things that, you know, I didn't realize until the ride home that it doesn't have.
Well, isn't that always the way?
A working dash.
Ouch.
The headlights weren't plugged in. I had to figure that out. You know, where the connectors were, uh-huh. and make sure that works. And there were two lug nuts on each wheel, which I quickly corrected before I drove even.
Wow.
You know, it was down about a gallon of fluid in the radiator. Not leaking, just didn't have it. There's just, you know, a few things like that, but we should maybe talk about something like this later. You know, we'll get into it.
As your podcast colleague, partner in crime, and your friend, I do have to point out that you wanted a project car, buddy.
I know. So, no, I know. That's the reason it's in my price range.
Oh, it's going to look awesome.
It's going to look really cool. Yeah, we'll see about getting some photos posted of it.
Well, I don't want to keep you here anymore because I know that you've got to get back to that garage.
That's right. I got to fire it up.
In the meantime, we are going to mosey on out of here. I am certainly not going to do a wall of death because I am not a trained professional.
You know what? I'd do it on a moped or something like that, I think, if it was small, but not the scale these guys do.
You're a braver man than I, my friend.
I'd have to inspect the structure, too.
Yeah. So if you guys have any experience with the wall of death and you'd like to talk to us about it, you can find us on Facebook at CarStuff, Twitter at CarStuffHSW. You can also check in with Scott's awesome blog. We've got pretty much, I mean, we don't have everything about cars on our website, but we're certainly trying.
Oh, no, it's everything.
Oh, it is everything? It's official.
Absolutely everything.
Oh, yeah, that was last Wednesday. I think we reached
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. There are a few things we don't have, but we're working on them. And you know what? Listeners are being really good about writing in with requests.
Mm-hmm. So if you'd like to make a request for us, tell us a story, tell us a joke, or correct us on something, we love all the email we get. Please send us one at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.